I was tempted to return to the gospel series again today. It was an easier scripture to preach from, in my opinion. It was from Mark, and it talked about the familiar thing when you remember that Jesus' disciples came to him and said that they found another who was preaching in the name, who was preaching the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ and healing in his name. And they told him to stop it, that he wasn't authorized to do this. And Jesus said to leave him alone, that whoever is not against us is for us. And it kind of reminded me of, there was an article a week ago in the Northern Virginia Daily. I don't doubt that many of you would have seen the Northern Virginia Daily, but there was a picture of one of my classmates on the front page. That one of the people that I went through the commissioned pastor program from. And Alan's picture was there, and he had left the presbytery a year or so ago. And he apparently was starting a church that was supposed to start last Sunday. And he had rented the old Presbyterian church in Middletown that they closed down and made it a mission church of the Middletown Church. This is a beautiful church, a little older than this one even. It was from the 1700s. It had the two doors, one for the men, one for the women. And it had the bundling board right down the middle of the pew so that the men and women were separated by a board. And it had the original kerosene lanterns and things, but it wasn't being used even once a month. And so the session decided to rent it to him, but apparently the presbytery heard about it and told him and locked him out and told him, no, you're not going to do services. And it's going to come up in the November presbytery meeting now whether or not to allow them to have services. But it struck me as strange that the scripture in the lectionary the following week was the scripture from Mark, where Jesus admonished his disciples to not stop anyone from preaching in his name, just because he wasn't authorized to do so. So today's lesson is tough. It's really easy to talk about sinners outside the church, to talk about how we should reach out to them, have patience with them, how we should love them. But it's tougher to think about those kinds of things within the church. It's really easy for me to get my arms around the idea of reaching out to someone who's unchurched, or like the underemployed, underchurched, and out there floundering, it's very easy for me to get an understanding of how I am to minister to them, how I am to love them unconditionally, even though they're not particularly lovable at the time. But how do we deal with each other in the church? I believe that much of the time it's hands off, unless they ask us to be involved. It's hands off unless they invite us into their lives. And sometimes if we do this uninvited, we're told to back off, that it's none of our business. But James is saying it is indeed our business. The welfare of one another, the faith of one another, the pain of one another, is indeed the business of our brothers and sisters in Christ. James describes a congregation that lives cooperatively, harmoniously. and with the grace of God, peaceably. James addresses communities in this scripture. He's addressing a community more than an individual, but the individual makes up the community, and they're impossible to separate. In the letters of James, James sees our church as sharing each other's joys, but sharing each other's burdens. He also calls upon us as individuals to share that with our brothers and sisters. Now, it can be done publicly. Obviously, that is perfectly appropriate. And it can be done one-on-one privately. Is any one of you in trouble? Is anyone happy? Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders to pray and anoint you with oil. And James goes to some length to remind us that those prayers will be answered. He gives examples in the past with Elijah, prayers being answered. James doesn't just want churches to meet and feel good about being part of the church. James wants the church to meet and be one in the body of Christ. There are so many people who attend church services regularly, but feel somehow separated, somehow not part of it, somehow alone, even in the midst of the congregation, even in the midst of the picnic, even in the midst of the music festival. They still can feel alone and separated. And this applies to me every bit as much as it does to you. There are times that every single one of us fits into this category. Sometimes, for some, it's a short time. For some, it was a long time ago. For some, it is right now. And for some, it is yet to come. But there is a time in every one of our lives when we feel somehow left out, somehow alone, even in the midst of people that we know care about us and love us. Some of us feel alone in our own family. And James is addressing this. James is telling us that we first need to go to the Lord in prayer. And by telling us in this prayer that Elijah prayed and was able to stop the rain for 3.5 years. Now it's easy. We say, yeah, but that was Elijah. Elijah is one of the guys that we expect to come back to announce the arrival of Christ again. But do you know what James says about Elijah? He says here, Elijah was a man just like us. That's what James says about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like you and me. Elijah was a person just like us. The only thing that was extraordinary about Elijah was his faith. Elijah had extraordinarily strong faith and trust in God. And if you think about it, isn't this the difference in the great characters of the Bible? What was different about King David? Well, one, he was chosen by God. That's a big difference. But the thing that separated David from the others was his faith. He walked out in front of Goliath, this giant of a man in heavy armor, armed only with a sling and some stones. He had faith. But David was a man, just like us. He sinned, big sins, bigger than many of us will ever have the opportunity to do. I guess kings can sin bigger than us because they have power. But he had faith, and so God forgave him. The thing that separates the great people of the Bible is faith. Daniel had the faith to stand before the king and refuse to bow. The people in the Bible who are great are not great in the deeds that they did. They're great in the faith that they had. Moses had a problem. He stuttered. He was not good at speech. But he had faith that God would show him the way. When the walls of Jericho came down, it wasn't because of the power of the army. It was because of the faith of the people who walked around the walls singing and blowing their horns. And when you feel the peace of the Holy Spirit overwhelm you, when you feel the peace that passes understanding that comes only through Jesus Christ, it will be because of your faith in Christ. It will be because you place your hands in His care. It will be because you trust God. James is teaching us to live in a community, but he's not teaching us to be one of the crowd. He's teaching us to be in a community of individuals, each possessing faith, each possessing trust in one another, but mostly trust in God. He's challenging us to live in a community and care passionately about one another and pray passionately for one another and to pray passionately for yourself and to feel comfortable and free to come to your brothers and sisters and ask for them to pray for your healing, whether this is emotional healing, whether this is physical healing, or whether this is faith healing. God help me with my unbelief. Faith is what separates believers and unbelievers. Faith is what can separate us from our God. Trusting God and loving God and having faith in God as part of a community of believers is what gives us power, is what gives us peace, is what gives us strength as a body of believers. It gives us the confidence to speak up, and it gives us the confidence to stand out, and it gives us the confidence to be alone sometimes. It's a shame when people are alone in a community. It's a shame when people are alone in the midst of people who care for them and love them. It's a shame when people don't have enough trust in God to deliver them. James has set about this message to remind us not of what we are, but of who we are. God has chosen you. God has reached out and specifically chosen you since before your birth to be one of His own. God has chosen you to be a part of a community, to be a part of a community of believers. Sometimes that means that you will serve. Sometimes that means you will be served. Both take faith. Sometimes it means that you will be involved in healing your sister and brother. Sometimes it means that you will be healed through the prayers of your sister and brother. Both take faith. Sometimes it means that you will be the one to deliver the word that someone so desperately needs to hear. Sometimes you will be the one to hear the word that you so desperately need to hear. That takes faith. We are called to be a body. We're not called to be a group of parts. We're called to be a community. We're not called to be loners. We are called to be children of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be unified in our belief and strengthened and bolstered by one another. Each and every one of us has a part in this. Each and every one of us is part of God's great plan. Spend time in prayer and meditation this week. Spend time in prayer and meditation, reading the scripture and praying to God to help you be a vibrant and active part of this community of believers. To help you to see sometimes what is hard to see. Sometimes what we don't want to see. Lift up each other in prayer. You know your brothers and sisters. You know their names. Lift them up in prayer as we ask that they lift you up. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.